Set here. Well, welcome back to our next edition of Hello World with Mike Kara. As always, probably broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. With me today is Matthew Curtis, who is the author of the book Modern British Beer. He is from Manchester, England, and he also runs a magazine, Pellico, and also has a podcast that goes with us, with it. And Matthew, it is such a pleasure and honor that you could join me today as we talk all about British beer and all that you do. And first of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into the world of covering beer?
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast, Mike. And I'd love to talk about that because, as your listeners can tell, I'm British, and I live in Manchester in the northwest of England, but I actually have family ties to the United States. My family is from a town in England called Lincoln, but about 11 years ago, my dad, who's called Frank, he's retired now, but he worked in agriculture, and he got a job that took him to Fort Collins, Colorado. And he's lived there ever since. He's now actually been in the US so long, he is a US citizen. So the US is a home from me, and I get to travel there quite often, not as often as I'd like over the last couple of years, but I've been there many times. And before my dad moved there, I was very much into my beer, from real ale through to all the beers that were available to me at the time. But when I visited Fort Collins and I actually discovered the American craft beer scene, which was at the time, it was so different to what we had in the UK, it blew my mind. So I decided to start a beer blog about these experiences and about how I wanted to see more of this US culture in the UK. The actual funny result of that is that now I actually want to see more investment in our own British real ale culture, and people in the US want to talk to me about that. But that's where it started for me, really. And I started as a hobby, and it got out of hand. In 2016, I was able to go full time as a freelance writer. And in 2019, one of my closest friends, a guy called Johnny Hamilton, he's a brewer, and he came to me with this idea at the end of 2018 to start a magazine about beer and wine and cider. And I said, yeah, that's a great idea. So I registered the URL, and we've been running Pellicle, our magazine and podcast, for almost 3 years now. So yeah, that's what I do. I travel, I visit breweries and bars and pubs, and I write about beer. And I, as you mentioned right at the start, I just wrote my first book, which was published last year, called Modern British Beer.
Great, Matthew. So yeah, let's talk about that. But before we get into modern British beer, you know, here in America, you know, one of the things I'll say is that I'm actually a member of the Central Florida Homebrewers, and British beer, you know, British ales, everybody loves them. You know, in that home brewing world, everybody loves British beer. But I mean, as far as the more American commercial world, I'm not sure as people is familiar with British beer. So first of all, in Britain, do you have a big, British beer industry? Do you, import Budweiser, or is there a British beer culture there?
So yeah, beer is a huge part of British culture. Not just beer either, the pub. If you imagine the classic wooden bar, carpeted British pub, those still exist, and they're wonderful places to spend time. Funnily enough, actually, yes, we do have Budweiser here, although it's not imported. It's actually brewed here, as is Coors. Not Miller, though. We don't get that. But American beer is very well known here. But we have a long-standing tradition of both, I guess you could call them Euro lagers, or light lagers, but the real true British culture is real ale, which was, you might have heard of CAMRA, the Campaign for Real Ale, which was formed in the early 70s because it was in decline, and they essentially lobbied the government and to support pubs and support breweries and preserve this style. So if you think about beer styles like bitter. Bitter is a great example. Mild, which can be darker. It can be lighter as well as a sort of malty, malt-forward ale. But golden ale is probably the most ubiquitous cask ale, light, hoppy, bitter, low alcohol, so 4%, 5% maybe sometimes. And so that's what runs centrally through our traditions here in the UK. But like we do drink a lot of lagers. Guinness is, you know, hugely popular. Their sales are up in the UK since the since lockdown ended here in the UK. But we also have, in the last few years, we have craft beer. So there's 2,000 breweries in the UK, and some of them, they look just like American breweries, and they make hoppy IPAs and that kind of thing too. So yeah, we have a pretty diverse beer culture, and I encourage people to come and visit and experience it for themselves.
Okay, Matthew. Now, we were, you know, talking about Guinness, but I mean, do you, in England itself, is there a lot of breweries that make stouts?
Yes, actually, stouts. I think the last few years they were declining, but in a recent survey, I was actually reading some stuff this morning, and small breweries are now making more stouts than they have done in the last few years, in the last, maybe the last decade or so. Not just stouts, but porters, Baltic porters, Schwarzbiers, that, you know, this sort of thing is coming through as well. Guinness is still the big seller here in terms of dark beers in the UK. But yes, there's lots of dark beers available from smaller breweries too.
Now, as far as lighter beers, you know, I'm interested. We'll talk more about, you know, modern British beer. But, you know, it's like, give me a Bud Light. Do you have an equivalent, like if you go to an English pub where you could ask for like an English light beer?
Yeah, I guess. So the best selling beer in the UK is actually originated in Canada, and it's called Carling. It used to be called Carling Black Label. And it's a product owned by Molson Coors. But it's brewed in the UK, has been since the 60s, I think. But that's the biggest selling beer here. And it would probably be, it doesn't taste quite like an American light lager. It doesn't have corn in it. But it's a similar sort of beer. I will say Coors Light is quite ubiquitous because Coors are big here. But we have a lot of the big brand names. So Stella Artois, Heineken, that kind of thing. Kronenbourg, a French beer, that's also very popular here. And I would say that like light lagers and Euro lagers, it's still about 70% of all beer sold in the UK. So it's the majority. But if you had to pick one beer that was, say, the Bud Light of the UK, that would be probably Carling.
And one question I wanted to ask you, Matthew. So we have a place here in Orlando called Roke Pub, and they have like 400 beers from all over the world, literally. And they have like 10 English beers. And I was just wondering, just for fun, what would you think? I don't know, but I'll check what those 10 beers are. What do you think some of the beers that an American craft beer place like that would have as far as English beers?
English beers, it's interesting. I don't know what might get imported. So there's a very big family brewer. Well, it's not family anymore. It's owned by Carlsberg, called Marsden's. And they send over a beer called Old Speckled Hen, which I know I've seen that in the US. You might be able to get Fuller's London Pride. If it's a smaller brewery, it depends where they're getting it from. But I know that there's a small brewery called Coniston Brewery that make Bluebird Bitter. They send that to the US. If you can find that, you'd be very lucky. And then there's another brewery in Scotland called Fine Ales, but it's Fine with a Y because it's named after Loch Fine. And their flagship beer, Jarl, I've seen that in the US. However, if I was in Florida and in a bar like that, I would want to drink something like Cigar City High Alive because I'd want to drink a fresh local beer. That's what I would go for, not something that's been shipped across the Atlantic. But I hope there are some English beers there because it's nice to have the variety.
Okay, Matthew. So let's talk a little bit, you know, about this book, Modern British Beer. So tell us a little bit about the gist of the book. And, you know, you talk about, you know, the history of British beer. You give examples of British beer. How does that work?
So, yes, I do give a few examples. Something that I've wanted to write this book for a few years, and the publisher is actually Camra, who I mentioned earlier, the Campaign for Real Ale. They have they put out about 3 or 4 books a year, and some really interesting ones too. But what's happened in the UK in beer in the last 20 years is that beer has changed a lot. So in 2002, there were about 600 or 700 breweries, but something happened on a government legislation level where smaller breweries pay less tax. If they're very small, they pay 50% less tax compared to a bigger brewery. And the result of this, it meant a lot of people started opening breweries because it became affordable, because it takes a lot of money to open a brewery. So it meant smaller breweries could open. The other thing that happened is all of these beers started appearing here in the UK from America. Beers that we didn't really have in the UK, beers that were a lot hoppier, that had hops we hadn't heard of. I mean, take something like Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. 20 years ago, we didn't have beers like that in the UK other than what was imported. There was maybe one or two outliers, but it wasn't normal. And so inspired by the US, the new wave of British brewers tried to kind of copy them. And then this had a huge influence and brewing became really cool. And by 2000, and I think it was by 2018, we hit 2,000 breweries. So in 15, 16 years, the number of breweries in the UK more than doubled. And some of them are very traditional. They make cask ales, and some of them are very modern and they make very American style beers. Some make German lagers. Some make Belgian quads and triples. You know, it's a bit like the US. There's an immense variety. But I started to see how this was changing. And I thought, so I turned 18 in the year 2001. And in the UK, you can go to a pub and drink legally from 18. It's not 21 like the US. And I remember the first pint I ever had in a pub was a beer called Foster's, a very popular, it's another light lager, a very popular beer that originated in Australia. I had a thought that what happens if you're 18 now and you go for that first beer and there are 2,000 breweries and you've got hoppy pale ales, cask ales, lagers, stouts, like the choice is completely different and beer has changed forever. So that was the seed of the idea. Like I wanted to document how beer in the UK has completely transformed in the last 20 years. However, in it, I don't just look at the modern beers. I look at some of the traditional cask beers of the past 2 or 3 decades that have also influenced that journey. And what I also learned a lot in writing it, in that actually British brewing tradition is probably stronger than ever. And it's also important to take care of it because we have a beer culture in the UK that is unique to us. And I think when we got all of this American influence, we lost sight of that. So I kind of write about that. And what I did is I split the book into chapters by region, because where you go in, we're a small island, but where you go in the UK, the beer is different. The style of beer you drink and the breweries you find is different, much like the US. So I broke the book down. There's Scotland, there's the Northeast and Yorkshire, there's the Northwest, all the way down to London where the book finishes. And then instead of putting lots of beers, I just picked a handful in every area, just enough to give it a flavor of how the UK was being influenced. So, that's what I did. I documented it through 86 beers and tried to evaluate how I think British beer has changed forever. And that's what I call modern British beer. And the book actually, it just came out on Kindle, which is because it's published in the UK. You can buy it in the US, but you have to get it delivered and it can be expensive. But the Kindle edition just came out, which means you can buy it from anywhere in the world, which is great.
Oh, great. Matthew. So one thing I wanted to ask you, you know, here in America, we have beer. And then when the beer reaches a certain alcohol content, it becomes then malt liquor, you know, but it's still beer. I mean, do you have something like that in England or?
Well, yes, we do. We call it barley wine. although I think, I'm not sure if, does malt liquor have corn in it or is it all malt? I assume by
not
the name.
Not sure on that. Yeah,
I guess barley wine's quite popular in craft beer now, but there used to be beers like the one example is Gold Label, is a really good example of just a strong, you know, it's a beer brewed for strength rather than flavor. And then you get strong lagers, Carlsberg Special Brew, Tennent Super, kind of 8% lagers that aren't really designed for how they taste, but for how drunk you get on them. But it's not quite the same as malt liquor, but that's our equivalent, really.
So, I mean, is there a beer in England that you know, people like to go for that has a little more alcohol content, has a little more oomph, but also does have that flavor? I mean, is there beers that balance the two or?
Yes, definitely. I think if you look at a lot of the modern craft brewers, they're making double IPAs, imperial stouts. You know, there's a bar here in Manchester I love going to. It's called Cafe Beer Moth, and it's a craft beer bar, but it has real ale. It has 10 keg lines, I think, and 5 cask. And they will have everything from like a 3% table beer up to, you know, something that's 10% beer, you know, a double IPA or an imperial stout. There's lots of choice. So, yeah, we have equivalents.
Okay. And I wanted to say, I mentioned that, you know, I am a member of the Central Florida Homebrewers, and there's this guy, Ed Meesum, that has his English brown, and it's fantastic. And he just loved this English brown. And I wanted to ask you, is that common in England? Or?
So, sadly, the last few years, pale beers have been really popular. And American visitors will contact me and say, where can they go and drink mild? Where can they drink brown ale? And until recently, I've said it can be harder to find them than you might think. Although you can find them if you know where to look. You may know the brewery Samuel Smith's, which is in Yorkshire. They actually own pubs in most cities, and they do their famous Taddy Porter and nut brown ale, lots of different styles. But now there's been a bit of a resurgence in maltier styles. So you can go to most tap rooms or good pubs, and they should have either a mild or a brown ale or something a bit maltier. Certainly a best bitter, which has got a lovely chestnut brown color. And you can find them. There's a brewery here in Manchester, you would call a modern craft brewery called the Runaway Brewery, and they do a brown ale, but it's an American style brown ale, so it's a bit hoppier than a traditional British one, but it's a great beer. So they're out there. I'd say, you know, drop me a line, I'll tell you the pubs to go to where you can find the selection, because it can be a bit of a lottery. You need to know where to go, but it's getting better.
And Matthew, we talked about, you know, the pub culture, and, you know, I wanted to ask you, because we know how the Irish pub culture is, you know, sometimes everyone breaks out in song and there's, you know, Irish drinking songs. So, I mean, in the English pub culture, does people break out in song? Are people drinking beer and doing all this stuff? Or?
We're not quite as exuberant in that fashion as the Irish. Although what I will say is, certain, you know, there's Irish pubs in most major cities. There's lots of Irish communities in England, and you can find those pubs here as well, much like you probably can in the US. But no, I would say English people are much more reserved. We like to talk. We like to sit, you know, and it varies. If you're in the north of England where I live, you know, I like going out for a pint on my own after I finish work. And when I go to a pub, I will have a conversation with someone. in the south of England, in London, people tend to keep themselves to themselves. Not always, but largely. So, but yeah, I would say English people, I can't speak for Scottish people or Welsh people because we're all very different, but English people, we're usually pretty quiet and spontaneous singing. I don't know. It doesn't happen. Things are a bit different after the lockdown, though. People seem a bit more excited to see each other. So I don't know. Maybe there will be some singing in future. I hope so. I enjoy it.
Okay, Matthew. So we want to talk about, you know, this magazine and podcast, Pellico. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about the magazine and podcast and what they're about here?
Yes, certainly. So Pellico was founded by myself, and I said earlier, my friend Johnny Hamilton, he's a brewer. He brews at a brewery in Scotland called New Barns. And we met in the pub late 2018, and he had all these wine magazines, and he says, these wine magazines are great. I wish we could do something like this for beer. And I was at a bit of a junction in my own career, and I thought, do you know what? I think, yeah, that's a great idea, but we shouldn't just do beer. We should maybe bring in a bit of wine and cider, just a little bit, because we like them and it'd be nice to like bridge the gap in those communities. But I will say that beer is our focus because I'm a beer guy, he's a brewer, and we put the cider and wine in because that's part of our enjoyment as well. So we started the magazine. It's online, pellicalemag.com. And we publish a story. We raised a bit of money so we could pay people to write stories for us. And then we are supported very kindly by our Patreon supporters now, so we can keep doing that. So we publish a story or two a week about beer, but sometimes dip our toe into cider and wine. And we just keep trying to put as many stories out as possible because we enjoy doing it, and we think beer is a richer place for having stuff to read. And then not long after we started, I always wanted to do a podcast. So I do, much like yourself, not that regularly, about once a month, sometimes twice a month if I have time, I will either do an episode where I just talk about something I'm interested in, or I'll interview someone, and that's the Pellico podcast. So yeah, we've been doing that for a while, and we'll keep going with that while we've got money in our bank account, and just for the enjoyment of it, really. I think beer has amazing stories, and it's a great privilege to be able to share them. So that's our goal, really. It's as simple as that, just to help people connect with beer if they want to, on a slightly deeper level.
Okay, Matthew. Now, one thing you mentioned about ciders, and I love ciders, but one thing that I like is apple beer, and it's not very easy to get here in America, and it might not be very easy to get in the UK then either, huh?
No, there's a few brewers have done like a blend. It's like a cider beer hybrid, but it's not a normal thing. So I think there's a word that's sometimes used. It came from a Stephen King novel, Graf, G-A-G-R-A-F, which it means a beer cider hybrid. And it came from the book, The Dark Tower. But now people use this term in real life. But it's not something you see often. But they are nice, aren't they?
Yeah, they're great. So, I mean, for you, Matthew, it's part of what you do sometimes, going and trying these different beers. I mean, wherever you go, if you're near a pub, you stop in, or?
Yes, pretty much. I get to travel around the UK a lot. So I'm based in Manchester, which is in the northwest of England. But, you know, just this last week, I've been to Liverpool. That's not too far from me. I've been to Birmingham recently. I get to London a lot. So hopefully we'll get up to Scotland in the summer for a bit. And I try and visit breweries, taste beers. More importantly than that, speak to the brewers about what they're doing, about why they're engaged with what they're doing, what they're trying to do. But I also think the British pub is a great lens with which to view, not brew, British life through. It's really central to who we are as a nation. Like we're better for having these pubs, and it's a difficult business running a pub and making a living. So, you know, I think we've got about 47,000 pubs in the UK. That some of them are not always great, but most of the time they are. And you know, if anyone wants to come and visit the UK, the best way to see a city is to do it by stopping off at pubs along the way.
Oh, great. So, I mean, for you, Matthew, do you deal with or do anything with food pairings and beer? Like what goes good with bangers and mash? What beer?
That's a great, I've got a good answer for that actually. Cause I can tell you where to get the best bangers and mash in a pub in the UK. There's a town called Lewes. So it's spelt L-E-W-E-S, and it's south of London. It's actually in a national park called the South Downs, which is just a beautiful countryside right near the south coast. And in Lewes, there is a pub called the Brewer's Arms. And the Brewer's Arms does the best bangers and mash. And I would recommend two beers in there. So if you want to go for the traditional British pint, there's Harvey's Brewery, who've been brewing since the 19th century, and you can have their Sussex Best Bitter. Fantastic. But even better for me, the pub sells a beer called Arise, which is a hoppy pale ale from Burning Sky Brewery. And they're one of the best modern breweries. They're in the book. They're one of the best modern breweries in the UK. And their Arise with the bangers and mash at the Brewer's Arms in Lewes, that's a food and beer pairing that you will want to go back to again and again. Take it from me.
Great. So, I mean, is that pretty much, you know, the pub culture is a lot of pubs, you know, because around here we've got a lot of these craft breweries, but a lot of times then it's a situation where, well, you can order a pizza and bring it in. You can bring in outside food, but something with an English pub, they have food, they've got beer. You know, you don't need to be taking food and bringing food in then, huh?
No, well, you will find you do get a lot of pubs that just do beer. And some of them, there's a great pub in Manchester that's called Cask, C-A-S-K, just like cask beer. And it's a tiny pub. It doesn't have a kitchen, but next door to it is a fish and chip shop that does great fish and chips. And they let you take, you can go and get your fish and chips and then sit in the pub and they'll let you eat it in there. So that's pretty common here as well. But you know, some of the bigger pubs, they have the full kitchen and you can get some great food. So I always, if you're in the north of England, I always say, go for the pie. We do really good pies up here. Meat pies.
And I wanted to ask you, Matthew, so you're talking about fish and chips. So to be, you know, to be honest, does fish and chips and beer work? I mean, for you, do a lot of people do that?
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, actually, I think a good pint of lager, and it, you know, it can be a mass produced one or a craft lager, but like a nice crisp, you know, we've got lovely weather today. It's about 75, the sun's shining. It's, you know, that's really nice weather for us here. So it's a perfect day for fish and chips and a nice pint of cold lager. You know, or a nice IPA that would work as well. Fish and chips, you can drink anything. Like I've got a good friend of mine who's a beer writer called Melissa Cole, and she does food and beer pairings a lot as her job. But she says the best thing with fish and chips is a cup of tea, another very British thing.
Right. And one thing I wanted to ask you, Matthew, you know, I mentioned about home brewing. So, I mean, we're talking about, you know, craft breweries in, you know, England and Britain. But, I mean, is there a lot of people that brew their own beer there?
Yes, actually. And I think before lockdown, yes, lots of home brewers and lots of people that take it seriously. There's competitions, there's clubs, much like the one you're in. But now, you know, people needed something to do when we're all in our homes. So a lot of people I know took up brewing. Near me, there's a local monthly homebrew meet where the homebrewers meet just to share what they've been brewing. And I sat with them, and they had been doing some German styles like Doppelbock. There was some Hefeweizen, lots of really interesting styles of beer. There was a Belgian Saison as well. So, and they were all done incredibly well. So yeah, homebrewing culture is really popular. I think in Manchester, there's at least four or five homebrewing shops where you can get all malt ingredients, all the equipment, all the latest hop varieties to use as well. So yeah, homebrewing is alive and well in the UK.
Okay, Matthew. And before we go, we want to mention about, you know, your websites, and if people can get a hold of you, or if they have any more questions, or if they, you know, more information, can you give us some websites, some social media and all that?
Yes, absolutely. So the best way to find me is on Twitter or Instagram, and my handle is at Total Curtis. So that's TOTALCURTIS. That's my surname. And you can find Pellicle at pellicle.mag.com. And you can order Modern British Beer. You can order it direct from Camera's website, or you can get it on Amazon, and they do ship to the US now. But like I said, it's also just come out on Kindle. It's a full color book with photographs. So if you've got a newer Kindle, you get to see all the photographs in high resolution as well. I took those myself too. Yeah, that's available now. The book just got reprinted, so there's plenty of copies available. And if you do buy one, do let me know what you think.
Okay, Matthew, we really appreciate your time and all this great knowledge about modern British beer. Any final thoughts or anything else you'd like to mention here?
I'd like to say thank you to you, Mike, for chatting to me for this last half an hour. It's been really fun. And I would say that I would just encourage people to visit the UK. Currently, we have no restrictions. The flights are affordable. The hotels are pretty affordable. There's never been a better time, really, than to come and visit. And I would recommend, you know, as much as London has got a lot going for it, get to the north of England, visit Leeds, visit Manchester, visit Sheffield, visit York, visit Liverpool, and lots of other northern towns. If you want to drink real ale, the best real ale, come to the north of England. You won't regret it.
Okay, thank you, Matthew. My guest has been Matthew Curtis, and you have been listening to Hello World with Mike Cara, as always, probably broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. And please catch us again next time.